The creation theory, of course, comes from the book of Genesis, which tells us that God created man from a handful of dust and he created woman from man's rib. And these two together were so stupid that they weren't on the planet 5 minutes when they'd managed to get a curse put on all future generations. Nice work. But in a way, this is the one positive thing about Genesis, is that it does give us a kind of a status. It confers on us a tragic nobility where we're communing directly with God and wrestling with major themes and not just grubbing around in the dirt for insects as we otherwise would have been. So just for our own self-respect, if Genesis didn't exist, we'd have to write it if somebody hadn't already beaten us to it a few thousand years ago. Darwin's theory of natural selection, on the other hand, tells us that we have evolved over millions of years from lower life forms such as lizards, apes, and born-again republicans. And many Christians would like to see both of these theories taught in schools so that kids can get both sides of the argument. But what I don't understand is why there are only two sides to this argument. Why only two theories? Because this is a very important question. So surely we need all the theories we can get, especially as the two that we've got are so mutually exclusive. If you embrace one, you have to reject the other. What kind of absolutist madness is this? There has to be some middle ground. Okay, here's a question. If you crossed a pig with a monkey, what would you get? I'll give you a clue. Look in the mirror. Now, I'm not trying to be insulting, but it's true, isn't it? We know that genetically we are very close to monkeys, but we're also very close to pigs, which is great news if you're looking for an organ transplant. In fact, in some cannibal societies, human meat is known as long pig. So maybe here's what happened. A few million years ago, a monkey had sex with a pig. I know it's wrong, but they were at a loose end on a Saturday night when these things happen, and they produced the first human, a remarkable creature that could not only peel bananas with its feet, but was mustered at sniffing out truffles. And from this, we evolved into the articulate, dexterous pig monkeys we are today. Still not convinced? Okay, let's call the monkey Adam, and the pig, oh, I don't know, you think of something. Well, why not? It makes more sense than either of the other theories, as it explains why there's no missing link, while eliminating the supernatural. So I'd like to see it taught in schools. Let's give the kids all the available theories and let them decide. We are the pig monkeys of planet Earth. This is my theory. And since I don't have a shred of evidence to support it, well, naturally, I believe it all the more passionately. Peace.
And that was Pat Condell from one of his 40 YouTube videos on religion. And this is the Innerside Radio program. I'm your host, Scooter. Wash me down with a glass of wine. As we were drifting off to sleep last night, my wife asked me what I had planned for the show tonight. Questions she occasionally asks with some trepidation, and I told her I was reviewing the new Ben Stein movie. Ben Stein? She replied. Yes, he released a movie about creationism. Ben Stein? She replied. He's against it, right? No, it's a documentary that argues for teaching intelligent design in public schools. Ben Stein? She exclaimed. Isn't he Jewish? The inevitable first response to hearing about Stein's recent celluloid brain tumor entitled Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. Who ever heard of a Jewish creationist? What's next? Amish strippers? Quaker war criminals? Oh, we had one of those. We'll get back to him. Intelligent design is pseudo-scientific drivel leaking from the backside of a recently deceased dinosaur domesticated for herding sheep by someone who wields infallible absolute knowledge of all things while worshiping dead meat on a stick. I didn't even think Jews were allowed into creationist neighborhoods. Everybody knows what kind of Jews we have here in the United States. They're, well, you know, I hate to resort to ethnic stereotypes, but Jews are, we know, for the most part, tend to have a lot of education. What would possess a nice Jewish boy from Harvard and Yale to advocate for intelligent design? I'm guessing a number of things, and I have a few theories, have no evidence for these theories, but I do have faith in them, which makes me believe them even more so. First, Ben Stein's money. As this abomination continues to abominate at the box office, Mel Gibson proved one thing. No, not about Jews, about Christians. You could produce any religious monstrosity for the immense audience of American born-again plankton and rake in the DVD sales as churches buy them by the donkey load. No one has ever gone broke underestimating the intelligent design of the multitude swarms of hungry, cross-clutching Jesus freaks swarming the Purple Mountain majesties in biblical proportion. $12 a head is real money. And Ben Stein is, by the way, an economist by trade. The first premise of this pernicious, pious Bible porn is the title cut, expelled. And Stein cites example after example of alleged academics who were fired maliciously for daring to challenge the dogma of big science by suggesting open discussion of intelligent design not in political science class, where it belongs, but in actual science classrooms. As it turns out, these claims are as fraudulent as intelligent design itself and consist of a volunteer who was not dismissed and a few mediocre professors who blame their own inability to achieve tenure on scientific persecution rather than their own lack of achievements in a highly competitive academic environment. Here's a few sentences from a review written by Dr. Kenneth Miller, a fellow at Brown University who also happens to be a Christian who writes about evolution and theology. Quote, "Expelled is a shoddy piece of propaganda that props up the failures of intelligent design by playing the victim card. It deceives its audiences, slanders the scientific community, and contributes mightily to a climate of hostility to science itself. Stein is doing nothing less than helping turn a generation of American youth away from science." Unquote. I think he's overestimating how many people are going to watch this. But, however, not even in the boundless depths of hypocrisy written into the shameless, driveling, expelled script matches the irony of the first controversial event which occurred during a screening before the film was released. Let's check in with the guys at Nonprofits Radio while they run this down for us.
All right. Well, here it is in P.Z. Meyer's own words.
Good, because those are the best ones.
Yes.
He should rule the world.
"There is a rich, deep kind of irony that must be shared. I'm blogging this from the Apple store in the Mall of America because I'm too amused to want to wait until I get back to my hotel room. I went to attend a screening of the creationist propaganda movie Expelled a few minutes ago. Well, I tried, but I was expelled. It was kind of weird. I was standing in line, hadn't even gotten to the point where I had to sign in and show ID, and a policeman pulled me out of the line and told me I could not go in. I asked why, of course, and he said that a producer of the film had specifically instructed him that I was not to be allowed to attend. The officer also told me that if I tried to go in, I would be arrested. I assured him that I wasn't going to cause any trouble. I went back to my family and talked to them for a while, and then the officer came back with a theater manager, and I was told that not only wasn't I allowed in, but I had to leave the premises immediately, like right that instant. I complied. I'm still laughing, though. You don't know how hilarious this is. Not only is it the extreme hypocrisy of being expelled from their Expelled movie, but there's another layer of amusement, deep belly laugh funny. Yeah, I'd be rolling around on the floor right now if I weren't so dang dignified. You see, well, have you ever heard of a sabot? It's kind of a sleeve or lightweight carrier used to surround a piece of munitions fired from a gun. It isn't the actual load intended to strike the target, but may even be discarded as it leaves the barrel. I'm kind of a sabot right now. They singled me out and evicted me, but they didn't notice my guest. They let him go in, escorted by my wife and daughter. I guess they didn't recognize him. My guest was Richard Dawkins. He's in the theater right now, watching their movie. Tell me, are you laughing as hard as I am?
Yes, we are.
Add to this
I'm in
the
your
fact
base
that,
watching your movies.
Add to this the fact that P.Z. Myers, along with Richard Dawkins, are featured in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And even thanked in the end credits.
Yeah.
I go, wow.
These creationist asshats have just, I mean.
So I got in.
You got in. My wife got in. My daughter got in. Her boyfriend got in.
Yeah, everybody else got in. What astonishes me about this is, well, everybody's been pointing it out around the blogs, that it's an incredible piece of inept public relations to expel somebody, not just from any film, but from a film about expelling people for their,
yes,
I don't know, opinions or what they say or what they think.
A film in which I am present.
And a film in which you are present and acknowledged and thanked in the acknowledgements at the end of the film for being present.
Yeah.
I would not have believed anybody capable of such utterly inept public relations. And when I actually got into the film and started seeing it, the same individual showed himself to be completely inept as a filmmaker. And I'm not a professional filmmaker myself, but I've had a lot to do with making documentaries. And this was a very, very shoddy, poor, inartistic piece of work. Anyway, after the film, which seemed to go on forever, I mean, it was Matheson went up onto the stage. And
oh, Matheson, by the way, is the director of the film, apparently a student of the William Burroughs School of Editing at the University of Bad Dada in Duxbrothistan.
Went up onto the stage and took questions. I stood up and asked him point blank why, since this was a film about expelling people and free speech and things like that, freedom of thought, etc., why he expelled somebody who, and I actually mentioned that you, since you were in the film and were thanked, and he more or less called you a gatecrasher because you didn't. I mean, and yes. one of the Christian blogs, I don't know whether you've seen it, is actually saying that both you and I were gatecrashers because we didn't have tickets. That's why I wanted to establish earlier that actually nobody had a ticket. It wasn't a ticketed affair.
You didn't need a password. Anybody could have done this.
Well, it's a spectacular own goal, a spectacular piece of shooting oneself in the foot. That simply compounds the poor artistic quality of the film itself. These people are second rate in filmmaking as well as in public relations.
Yes.
And
I think you're elevating them a little bit. Second rate seems a little high.
Yeah.
Third, fourth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
These guys are liars. And I don't just mean the producers of Expelled.
They're incompetent.
I mean the producers of Expelled, the intelligent design movement in general, Dembski, Behe, every one of them down the line. It's dishonesty, it's misrepresentation, it's censorship.
It's contemptible.
When you wish to suggest that somebody is perhaps not the ideal choice,
you rubbish them.
The first stage is to express absolute support.
Why?
Because you don't want to go on record as saying somebody is no good. You must be seen to be their friend. After all, it is necessary to get behind someone before you can stab them in the back.
We wanted to work on this movie, Expelled, because we were concerned that Darwinism, which is a brilliant theory, just beyond words brilliant.
This is a theory which was a brilliant theory in the middle of the 19th century. Well, the issue is that Darwinism, which was a brilliant theory, and that's a brilliant proposition. Darwin was a brilliant guy.
Are any of us connect with the movie? Says that Darwin was a fool. He was obviously an extraordinary,
unbelievable genius. They've gone way
beyond
him.
Way beyond him.
After all, it is necessary to get behind someone before you can stab them in the back.
Well, the issue is that Darwinism, which was a brilliant theory and a great, great relic of the age of imperialism in the 19th century, this is a theory which was a brilliant theory in the middle of the 19th century. It's the 21st century.
Yeah, and the age of a theory has no bearing whatsoever on its veracity. Newton's theories are over 300 years old, yet they are as valid in macroscopic mechanics today as they were in Newton's time. Now let's take a look at Stein's science.
Two long years traveling all over the United States, all over Europe, interviewing many, many, many people.
2 years of traveling the world and talking to people, eh? Wow. Well, let's see how much you've learned, shall we?
Had been thrown out of their academic jobs because they taught that there was a possibility of life coming from something other than Darwinism.
What are you talking about, Steiny? Evolution doesn't say anything about the origin of life. It explains the diversity of life. Just like Newtonian mechanics explains how matter moves, not where it originated from. Just like general relativity describes gravity, but does not explain the origin of gravity. In non-scientific terms, you can learn all sorts of things about music by listening to an orchestra without actually knowing where or how any of the instruments were made.
We thought that possibly random selection and mutations didn't account for the universe.
Now Stein is just talking utter gibberish. Random selection? I think he means natural selection. But this is part of the theory of evolution. It has nothing to do with the origin of the universe. That would be the Big Bang theory.
And mutations didn't account for the universe, didn't account for gravity.
No, but then again, Darwin had nothing to say on gravity. Newton was the first player on that one.
Didn't account for why nobody had ever seen an individual species evolve. No one's ever seen an individual
why
species
is God?
Evolve.
No one has ever seen an individual species evolve. Wow, I wonder how much research Stein did on that. Merely type observed instances of speciation into Google and you'll get a webpage with about 30 cases of speciation documented in about 100 articles in the peer-reviewed scientific literature. 2 years of traveling the world and interviewing people, you say, Stein?
Interesting. You can only say Darwinian causes, random mutation, natural selection, even gravity is supposed to be begun by that. And I would say to these people, well, how did life begin? We don't know. But it had to be by Darwinian means.
No. They would simply say, we do not have a comprehensive explanation for the origin of life. Only in Stein's paranoid fantasies would there be any mention of Darwin.
So, well, how did gravity begin? We don't know, but it had to be by Darwinian means.
Maybe in Stein's poor delusional mind they would. But in reality they would say, what are you talking about, Stein? Gravity has nothing to do with evolution, or Darwin.
Why does it have to be that way? Why couldn't there have been an intelligent designer?
Because, Stein, for it to be science, it has to constitute a growth in the knowledge of mankind. The supernatural, by definition, cannot be studied by naturalistic means. It is, by definition, an unknown. Proposing the supernatural as an explanation for anything is merely replacing one unknown, say, for instance, where did the universe come from, with another one. The supernatural. The supernatural is nothing more than an intellectually lazy patch used by the weak-minded to cover unknowns, such that they can create a comfortable delusion of knowledge for themselves. While this may be reassuring for creationists, it merely inhibits the growth of knowledge. Putting supernatural stickers on everything that is currently unexplained is merely a path to an intellectual dead end. This is why scientists do not pursue this intellectually pointless exercise. Okay, so let's summarize Stein's depth of knowledge on evolution.
We were concerned that Darwinism, which is a brilliant theory, just beyond words brilliant, and explains a great deal about microevolution within species, was being taught as the only scientific explanation for creation.
Nope, evolution explains the diversity of life, not the origin of life.
For development of life, for development from inorganic to organic matter.
Nope, evolution explains the diversity of life. Inorganic matter, that's carbon-free material, cannot by definition develop into organic, that's carbon-containing material.
For explanation of every kind of science, even astronomy.
Nope, the theory explains the diversity of life has nothing to say on astronomy.
Even physics.
Nope, evolution explains the diversity of life, not physics.
Even thermodynamics.
Nope, the variation of allele frequencies in populations suffering environmental attrition has nothing to do with thermodynamics. In summary, Stein's education on evolution could be surpassed by anyone who takes 5 minutes to read the Wikipedia entry, or any other encyclopedia entry for that matter, on the subject.
But Darwinism explains so little. It doesn't explain how life began. It doesn't explain how gravity works to keep the planets in their orbit. It doesn't explain how thermodynamics work. It doesn't explain how physics or the laws of motion work. But I'm willing to agree, I could be wrong. I'm often wrong. I'm very often wrong.
Here's a heads up for your next documentary, Stein. The correct order to do things is to learn something about the subject before you make the documentary. Not the other way around.
April 18th,
yes.
And the movie is called
Expelled. Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed.
Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. That says it all. Man, thank you so much.
I can't really give a fair and balanced report on this festering cinematic puddle of viral bilge in just 30 minutes. So we'll continue to review Stein's intestinal expulsions on next week's program, where we get into the heart of the message that Darwinism, an invented word, and science lead to soulless behavior because they do not include the guiding hand of a divine being, nor the moral blackmail of religious dogma. And if the sheep are not exposed to this material as part of their public scientific education, Darwinism leads to social Darwinism, which leads to fascism, which leads to the Holocaust. We'll look into that and explore the motivations behind putting forth such notions and why elite Ivy League spokespersons like Ben Stein, starchier than a peep show trash bin, are throwing in with the anti-science white trailer trash who do not historically object to the Holocaust, many of whom believe that the Holocaust is no more than a theory, like evolution. This is the Innerside Radio program. I'll be back next week, and we're going to close with an oldie from yours truly, as well as another opinion by Pat Condell. So check this out. Bill Denye, the Creation Science Guy. Something I put together 12 years ago. It's funny how times change. The shadow on the sundial says, once again, it's time to turn back the hands of time. Gather up all that stuff you don't understand. Pack it up with the dance music and the new math. Take it to one of your Catholic neighbors, and he can give it back to the devil when he sees him on Sunday. Get down on your knees, Wilbur, and let the Holy Spirit of the mixed metaphor emblazon your eternal soul. In Jesus' name. With your host,
Bill Denye, the Creation Science Guy.
Hi, kids. I'm Bill Denye, the Creation Science Guy, with more from the pages of today's modern creation science. Reports on God's current agenda, with periodic updates on Christian scientific revelation. Here at the Learning to Live channel, we have a personal relationship with science in a sacred electronic environment. Amen. Tonight, the Reverend Isaac Hummer from Backwash, Texas, will be returning to talk to us about the most plentiful substance on Earth. Now, from the Research Institute of Theological Physics, Dr. Hummer.
You know that two-thirds of the earth is water, and still yet, much of the earth is water. And you pour the water out, and just as soon as you pour it out, the earth takes it, sucks it in, and it's never satisfied. It never says it's enough. You start the water in this building, and if you left it alone, it would not until every single thing in this, and it would then begin to do its best to leap over into another building and begin to, it would, do you understand what I'm saying to you? And it would pour out, and just, do you see desire? Do you see how it's, and it would pour, and it's parched and dry, and it wants more, and it says the, and it wants more and more, and it's talking about us. That's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to, we're not satisfied. And then the water is never satisfied. Did you ever notice that? No matter how many people get swallowed up by water, it still screams out and wants for more. After the so many thousands gave their life, it did not say, okay, that's enough. It just kept taking and kept taking. And I want you to know, we will find water. We cry, give, give. glory. Funny thing about desire. The Bible said desire, a woman's desire, a wife's desire shall be tribulation. Watch this. I'm going to help you. My desire shall be for your daughters. Their names are give and give. My desire shall be for your husband. And we dated for 7 years. That was like the rapture. And your husband's like the millennium. Hanging, shriveled up, withered, and just barely hanging on.
God. And that was, of course, Dr. Isaac Hummer from the Research Institute of Theological Physics in Backwash, Texas, speaking to us about the covalent forces that bond the molecular structures of water and desire in bipolar field anointments.
From the Holy Ghost Institute of Technology, I'm Bill Denye, the creation science guy. See you next time.
Public corporations broadcasting for public support from viewers for public...
Hello, America. I'm Pat Condell, and I'm your friend. Because I live in the UK, and our two countries have quite a lot in common, apart from the fact that everyone else on the planet hates our guts. We speak the same language, you and I, we share the same culture, and we worship the same God. A just God, a jealous God, a psychotic God, whose vengeance is terrible to behold. Your president is a born-again Christian, in the sense that Dracula was born again when he rose from the grave. Do we drink his blood, or does he drink ours? I've often wondered about that one. But you have a particular brand of Christianity in America which is unique and extremely creative in that it bears absolutely no resemblance to the message of the prophet it supposedly reveres and is in fact diametrically opposed to every single thing that he ever said without exception, which, if nothing else, America, shows incredible balls on your part. But like you, we don't discriminate. We'll sell arms to anyone, and we really don't care what atrocities they're used for as long as the money is right, because business is business. Because God is on our side, we both know that when our country is doing evil, it's good evil as opposed to evil evil. And we know that good evil always defeats evil evil, and your president plays this particular game very well indeed. We all know his history. We know how he used to be just a useless, cocaine-snorting, drink-driving, draft-dodging, daddy's little rich boy hellraiser, until one day, after a chat with Billy Graham, he had a revelation that he'd been chosen by God to be a dangerous, delusional bigot. He was quickly shoehorned into the governorship of Texas, where he finally found he had a talent for something, signing death warrants, praise the Lord, and from there it was just a short step to George W. the Lionheart, president of all Christendom. Because they say he's very well connected, your president, and this doesn't mean that his joints are all specially reinforced with steel wire, nothing as sinister as that. It simply means that he has a lot of corrupt and powerful friends who'll stop at nothing to get their way, and by his own admission, he invaded Iraq because one of these friends, namely God, instructed him to. He's more than ably assisted in all his endeavours by our insane Christian Prime Minister, another little man with blood on his hands, which he didn't get from having nails hammered through them, although I'm sure his press office would like us to believe otherwise. And we all know that he joined in with the invasion of Iraq because he felt the hand of history on his genitals and because he wants a cowboy hat. But never mind. Because we're still here, and we still love you. Yes, we do. And let me just say that we don't feel at all used or defiled by you, America. Well, maybe we do, just a little. But it's worth it, for the privilege of being friends with you. Having lost an empire, we were ready to be shunted away into the sidelines of history and forgotten. But now, thanks to you and your glorious mission from God, we find that we still have a role to play in the world, poking our nose in where it's not wanted, stealing and wasting every precious resource we can get our greedy hands on, and kicking the shit out of brown people the way Jesus would have wanted.
Special thanks to Thunderfoot from YouTube, the Nonprofits Radio Show, PZ Meyer, Richard Dawkins, and everybody else you heard.